This is West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Arlene McMichael. Today, we spend the full show with Marilyn Schlack, president of Kalamazoo Valley Community College. The college celebrated its 50th anniversary last year. Schlack has led the college for 35 of those years. She was one of the key driving forces behind several big economic development projects in downtown Kalamazoo, including the Arcadia Commons redevelopment project. More recently, KVCC has opened a culinary and allied health campus and a business education technology center. Now Schlack has announced her retirement. I sat down with her recently to review her contributions to the Kalamazoo area. Welcome to WMUK.
Thank you, Arlene. I'm glad to be here.
Well, congratulations on your impending retirement. The board is going to have a search. Where are they in that process?
They've just begun the conversation and are looking at the next steps that they want to take and how they want to organize for the search. And I think at the next board meeting, they'll probably be laying out the parameters and deciding how they want to move forward.
When is the next board meeting?
The 10th of October.
And do they have some idea of when they hope to have someone in place?
I don't know.
It's kind of open-ended.
Their goal and hope is that I'll stay until the replacement starts.
You've done a lot for our community in Kalamazoo. I'd like to talk a little bit also about your personal life. You started as a middle school teacher in the Detroit and Saginaw area. Tell us how you got started in education.
Well, I majored in English at the University of Michigan after transferring from Highland Park Community College. And I grew up in a small inner city enclave, Highland Park, which is in the middle of Detroit. And I had grand plans that I thought I was going to go to New York and be an editor. Well, I found pretty quickly that not only did I not have the skills, but I probably didn't have the wherewithal. So my mother had pushed and pushed that I become a teacher because she thought that would be a good career if I married and had children because I could be home in the summers. So I got my degree in English with a teaching certificate.
And part of your story is being a stay-at-home mom.
After my husband and I left Saginaw, we moved back to Ann Arbor because he was in a PhD program. And when he was almost completed his dissertation, he was invited to apply for a job at Western Michigan University. So we moved to Kalamazoo, and during this time, we had our son.
That was a professorship, is that correct?
That was a professorship. And so during this time, I was a stay-at-home mom, and I found out very quickly that I lost a lot of my confidence. I wore my jeans every day, and I quit driving, and I thought my life was around cleaning the refrigerator and washing the floors and making sure the baby was clean. I've always been a big reader, so I did read and I do knit, but it was very apparent that this wasn't the way I should be leading my life.
And so what did you do about it?
I was a stay-at-home mom for 3 years, and one day my husband came home and he said, Marilyn, I really think that you need to really branch out, and they need someone to teach a course in the College of Education at Western, and I would you be willing to apply an interview, which I did. And I got the job, and a couple of years later, Larry left Western to become an intermediate school superintendent, and so I became a full-time adjunct. That got me on my career path.
But then you decided to pursue a PhD.
I pursued a PhD because Western let me go. As an adjunct, they felt that they needed to cut back on their budget and asked that I not come back the next fall, which really was the first time I ever felt disappointed and hurt, etc. It was scary for me. So Larry and I started talking about what my next steps were going to be. I looked at the University of Michigan's program. I looked at Michigan State. Michigan State had a very strong program for in leadership and education. And our son was about 8 years old, and I made the decision that I was going to be closer to home. So one of the professors, Dr. Dorothy McCluskey, called me in and she said, I would love to work with you, but Dr. Dale Fonts has all males in his program and he desperately wants a woman. I think you should go up and talk to him. Well, that led me to a wonderful experience of working with Dale Fonts, who was a former vice president here at Western. And in turn, that led me to KVCC.
What was your first position at KVCC?
My first position at KVCC was an assistant dean for general studies. And I was in that position for 2 years when the dean of instruction left, and I became the dean of instruction and then ultimately the executive dean. And then the president, Dr. Dale B. Lake, left, and I applied for that job, and I became president.
You started at KVCC in 1974, then you became president in 1982. Did you think you had a chance?
I didn't think I had a chance. There were no other women presidents in the state. I had a passion for the community college, having attended one, and I had strong support at home and within the college community as well. So they brought in two consultants, and several of us that were working at KVCC applied, and I was lucky enough to be chosen.
At the time that you became president, so that people can appreciate how far the college has grown, how many students did it have in 1982?
About 4,000.
And today?
We have about 11,000 students now.
And that combines full-time and part-time together.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. I guess what's always impressed me, honestly, over the years, we go way back. I used to be a higher education reporter, is I'm going to call it your chutzpah, that you have opened doors, gone down places where women just haven't been. And for that matter, even if a man did it, these are some amazing things that you have done. And I'd actually like to kind of explore each of them in detail. But what I'd like to know, as you've gone through these different experiences, were you as fearless as it looks to the rest of us?
Absolutely not. If you know anything about the Gallup strengths, my number one strength is achiever. And it's very important to me that once I start a job that I have to do it well. I'm driven. And I feel a strong responsibility in those I represent. And in this case, it happened to be Kalamazoo Valley Community College. But more importantly, the community as a whole, because Kalamazoo Valley Community College takes great pride in having community in its name. The second thing is, it's kind of a series of accidents, Erlene, where as a woman, I was kind of unique. So everybody felt that they were going to get this first woman involved. So, you know, I have several boards and committees invited me, not only as president, but they have this woman representation then, female representation. And that really opened up opportunities for me to become more involved locally, at the state, and nationally.
I'm thinking of even small ways that you broke open some doors. Were you not the first female president at the Park Club?
Yes, I was.
Describe the Park Club. It's in downtown Kalamazoo. It's a pretty, I think, powerful institution.
The Park Club is a private dining club driven by a long history. I laughed about it because they had the ladies' lounge. They also had the ladies' entrance, which was around the back.
And when you started there?
Shortly after. And I was the first woman to be invited to serve on the board. It was interesting because there was a lot of pushback. Anonymous notes saying things like, get this woman off, in terms that can't be repeated on air. And it was difficult because a lot of people weren't comfortable having a female in a job or in a role that was unusual up to that point. It got easier as the years went on. Other women came in and did an even better job of taking those next steps. And I think we've come a long way in the last 30 years.
You're listening to WMUK's West Southwest, and we're talking with Marilyn Schleck, president of Kalamazoo Valley Community College, who is retiring after 35 years. You talk about how you take the community part of Kalamazoo Valley Community College very seriously. You could have exclusively focused on things that are strictly academic related, but you've been involved very much so in economic development. Let's go down memory lane. First of all, you have your first campus was in Texas Township on 9th Street. However, you do have a campus in downtown Kalamazoo. Now it just seems perfectly normal that it is there, but there was a time when it was not there. And that campus opened in 1983, but it was part of a larger project, part of the Arcadia Commons redevelopment project. And you were a huge force in making that happen, that brought a lot of different businesses down there. Talk about why you were so passionate about it, considering that you had only just become president of KVCC.
One of the criticisms that Kalamazoo Valley Community College had in the early 80s was that we were out on 9th Street on the west side of the county. So we rented space from the Standard Federal Credit Union under the parking structure on South Street, trying to make it easier for students on the east and north side to get in and take classes at a convenient location and try to build their skills before they had to really take the big leap. During that time, the Arcadia project along the creek was talked about and people were struggling with how to make it happen. And it became very clear as someone who was part of those discussions that we needed some anchors. So there were a lot of people there that were interested in looking at that. We had the two hospitals talking about the cancer center. We had First National talking about expanding their headquarters. We had KVCC looking at a larger location because we saw we were successful. And then the community came to us and said, we really think you need to take over the museum, which was on the top floor of the library. So that all came together in a way that, and at the same time, the city wanted to raise the creek, open the creek up, and because there were some advantages to having the creek fixed and taking care of the floodplain. Those partnerships came together in a very nice way. We were able to really compromise and think together about a common plan and a common vision. And there desperately needed to be redevelopment in that area. The old laundry with the abandoned, with a sunken-in ceiling and dead pigeons, and it was just a very bleak place. And it was a barrier to many of our students on the north side who may have had to walk down Rose Street. It wasn't very inviting. So for us, it was just a good common business sense.
And in the Arcadia Commons area, again, another institution and building that I think we probably take for granted that it is there now, which is the Kalamazoo Valley Museum. It used to be part of the Kalamazoo Public Schools.
Yes.
KVCC took over ownership of it, what was it, in 1991? And then it wasn't soon after you took ownership of it. You don't waste any time. In 1992, you started a big public campaign to build this building that we have today. And it was a campaign that not only tried to reach big donors, but to get the whole entire community excited about it, even people who could give a dollar.
Pennies.
And pennies. Yeah, what was the thinking there and what has it done for the community college?
We need to step back for just a minute because at that time, the Radisson Hotel was going through a big transition. And Ted Cooper, the president of the Upjohn Company at the time, took over the management of that with the idea that things would happen around the Radisson. He was a key player in helping us visualize what those steps could be for Arcadia Commons. And Don Parfit got involved then with several top-level vice presidents from the Upjohn Company. Part of that team was to come to the board at KVCC and ask us to assume responsibility for the museum. And I have to be the first to admit that I rolled my eyes and said, no way. But the more we talked about it, the more it seemed like a good idea because the museum is a wonderful hands-on learning environment that can be blended in very well with the community college. So we decided this would work. The Upjohn Company gave us the land, and one of their vice presidents, Mark Novich, became part of the campaign chairmanship. And we had a wonderful opportunity to reach out to the entire community. Early, one of my very favorite stories was that we had tennis ball cans where the children were raising pennies to move the mummy. And one of the parents called and said her child had just started kindergarten. And the first week passed, and she said to him, "Now, what did you learn in kindergarten today?" "Oh, we have to raise money to move the museum." That made it for me. It was truly a community campaign, and the children from all ages got involved and made it happen.
And for those who don't know, the mummy was in the old museum. You know, so people know about Move the Mummy.
We had to move the mummy from the old museum to the new museum.
Some of the newer projects over the years, a site on 9th Street, it's called The Groves. It's a business education technology park, and that opened, what, in 1998, I believe it is? Tell us about that and what the importance of that is.
The Groves was a initiative by the governor, John Engler, who really saw the need for more business training and hands-on training. And so he put aside money to build five, what was then called MTECs, Michigan Technical Centers. So we competed, and we owned the property in the Groves. We had the Dana Corporation's facility there, and we were one of the five chosen. The whole goal there is to reach out to the new businesses as well as existing businesses to say, okay, what are your training needs today, and how do we get your employees ready for tomorrow? And we've been very successful. Just this past year, Governor Snyder decided that we needed to invest more in the equipment for community colleges. Again, this was very competitive. And through the efforts of the community and from the state, we were able to garner almost $4 million in equipment for not only the Texas Township campus labs, but for the Groves, which puts us on the cutting edge of having the kind of equipment needed for the companies in our community for hands-on training.
How is it that the community college is able to pay for the operations of that particular facility? Is it part of your budget?
All of our facilities are under our millage. The point that needs to be realized is the museum has their own millage. So they are not part of our general fund. We manage that, but they're independent. The rest of our millage rate is for the college and all of our programming, whether it's credit or non-credit. As far as training goes, though, the companies pay for that, and it can be pretty close to a break-even point. We are not a for-profit by any means, but to cover some of the costs of the teaching and the covering the cost of some of the equipment.
The reason I mentioned that is to show that it's not necessarily grants, per se, that you exist on. And the only way that these things could continue to exist is because the community has been supportive of the millages for KVCC.
Clearly
you've had a lot of strong community support. Even newer, just when you think that Marilyn Schlack is done, you're not done. In and around, 2013, Bronson Hospital donated some land, and you now have the Bronson Healthy Living Campus in downtown Kalamazoo. Also house your culinary and allied health building there and your food and innovation center.
That's an interesting story, Earlene, and one probably that takes more time than you have. We had an invitation from an endowed chair of Michigan State University from their ag department, and he loved the way we handled maybe love is too strong, but he really liked the way we were doing our training in wind tech. And he was also an important part of the greening of Detroit, where Michigan State was involved in neighborhood farms and rehabbing the land where houses were raised, working with Eastern Market, etc. And he invited several of us out to just talk about it and said, "I would like you to come to Detroit and see what we're doing." Well, I was at a meeting where Frank Sardone and Frank and Paul from Borges and Bronson were sitting there, and I said, "We're going to Detroit tomorrow. It looks like there's a really ed-med opportunity." And Frank said, "I would like to send somebody." Paul's statement was that he couldn't do that at this point because, as you know, they are really managed by St. Louis. So we went to Detroit, and we had a chance to talk to Henry Ford Health System and see what they were doing. We talked with the community-based organizations, to churches, to individuals who are felons and are now developing their own businesses in terms of indoor growing, and the schools in terms of how they were trying to get healthier food into the schools in Detroit. That led to two other visits to Detroit, because each time we went, we learned something else. In that conversation, the professor from Michigan State said, I'm going to suggest to you that you could probably do this on a smaller scale and faster in Kalamazoo and set the stage in terms of the relationship of food and health, and also the importance of growing food in a sustainable way in a local setting. We learned that close to 50% of all the food that comes into Michigan out of the state is thrown into our landfills and our streams because they don't meet the perfect standard or it's rotted. We also know that water is becoming more and more of a precious commodity, and Michigan has water. So we decided we were going to look at how we could become a model and a testing ground in partnership with Community Mental Health and Substance Abuse and with Bronson Hospital. That's how this project got going.
The Bronson Healthy Living Campus, do you get any contribution from Bronson to help that run, or is that also part of your operating budget?
It's part of our operating budget.
Now, as you look back, there's many, many, many things that you have accomplished, some of which we probably haven't even begun to scratch the surface of. You've won probably just about every kind of award, I'm sure, locally here. But as you personally reflect back, what are some of the things that you are proudest of as KVCC president?
As I look back over the last 40 years, I have to say I am the most proud of the faculty and staff at Kalamazoo Valley Community College, because they in turn not only make the college, but they're the ones that help our students be successful. It's that team, that caring, that willingness to sacrifice and get involved is something I'm very proud of, because we've been able to attract so many good people that stay and continue to look for ways to do things differently.
What other things would you say that you have been proud of? Because you have a very long list here of things.
I'm very proud of our students. I think that there's a misperception that people that go to the community college are not quite up to standard. And we have students that have transferred to the University of Michigan. We probably have 80 students on the campus in Ann Arbor right now. We've had two students transfer to the University of Chicago. We've had several of our students go to K College. Of course, the majority of our students go to Western, which is a solid education as well. So I'm very proud of what our students have been able to achieve, some under just horrendous, horrendous challenges.
Since you mentioned students, I'd like to dwell there for a minute. One of the things that I find very fascinating at KVCC, and this is also true for the employees, is you have everyone undergo the Strength Finders evaluation that's put out by the Gallup organization. And for those people who don't know, it's a type of thinking that says, let's focus on people's strengths and not what their weaknesses are. So if you go to KVCC and you walk up to a staff member's desk, they will have listed right there in front of them what are their five top strengths. And you have the students to undergo that. Some places aren't even doing that in the workplace. This is a very advanced way of thinking about strengths. Why was this important to do at KVCC?
I had a chance to see that work at the Stryker Corporation. And that motivated me to look into that more closely. But the thing that really worked for me is that our students came to us, many of them, thinking they had no strengths. This was an absolutely wonderful way to open doors for them. And they'll come in and say to me, hey, Marilyn, let me tell you what my five top strengths are. They're proud and they celebrate it and they feel like they have been empowered. And that's true of our faculty and staff too, that they could come in, talk very honestly about what their strengths are. For me, not only was it nice to know what my strengths are, but how I needed to complement what my strengths aren't and the kind of people I needed around me to do that. But it also helps to learn how to deal with people whose strengths are very different than yours. I am not competitive. I know people think I am, but I am not competitive. And competitive people, you know, I'm going, whoa. But learning now what competitiveness means and how that strength can work for you and the organization, it's really made a difference for me, but I think it's made a difference for the college as well.
That's a good segue into talking about leadership. What has been some of the greatest leadership lessons that you have learned or something that you would like to impart to others in terms of leadership?
If I had to tell people what leadership is all about, and this was part of my dissertation as well, but first, don't take yourself too seriously. Secondly, don't be afraid to admit you're wrong and that other people may have good ideas. And third, celebrate those around you as well as yourself. You have to take time for yourself. What do you enjoy? What would you like to do? And then how are you going to do it?
What are some of the things you like to do?
I'm an avid reader. I love to cook. I knit. And a lot of people at school have had babies. And if I have the time, I love to knit little baby sweaters. I always feel bad for those that don't get one because sometimes I get too busy. But I do like to do some, and I love being with my family.
I have to believe with many of these projects that you have done, there's a lot of moving parts to it. It involves a lot of different individuals in getting cooperation and compromise. What lessons could you share with us that could make us successful in that regard, just in dealing with people in, I don't know if it's negotiating, what getting along with others. I know you didn't singularly accomplish this by yourself. So what could you teach us in regards to that? What do we need to know?
Sit back and let people run with it. Don't be afraid to be a part of a team. Don't be afraid to be a follower, not just a leader. And don't be afraid to say you're wrong.
I heard you share some stories where perhaps maybe even you weren't on board initially with certain things and they ended up being great. But what if you're the one in the room and you think it's great and maybe others don't? What have you learned in terms of bringing others along? That's an important skill set to have.
I think the biggest part of that, Erlene, is that some things are not right at that time. And you need to step back and say, okay, you think it's a great idea, Marilyn, but it's not right for now. Maybe you can come back to it, and maybe you can't. But you're not going to hit 1,000, as Anna Witten used to say, every single time. You're not batting 1,000 on every decision.
As a leader, what guiding principles have you tried to keep in mind?
My basic guiding principle has been that every person deserves to be celebrated. And even those that don't like me or don't think I'm doing a good job, that's okay. I'm not perfect. I admit I'm not perfect, but I'm going to do the best job I can.
And a few just really quick closing questions. Who is your role model? And I don't know if it's changed over the years from when you first started as KVCC president.
I have several role models. I think that I've somewhat followed Eleanor Roosevelt and her life and her challenges and her visibility and the cruelty of people around her and how she stood up to that. I think about people who have had to cut through other pathways that I'm not sure I would have been able to. I think about Martin Luther King, and the challenges he faced as an African-American man, and yet he continued to push, knowing full well the challenges and the risks that were involved. I think about the young women and young men at KVCC, who some of whom are homeless, who aren't sure where their next meal is coming, and yet they persevere. And for me, that's a kind of leadership that I don't think we can ignore. We need to find a way to help them become even stronger leaders, because if they can face that kind of adversity, they've got a place in society to make a difference.
This question comes from a Kalamazoo Valley Community College student. This person wants to know, how has the Kalamazoo Promise affected enrollment and the success rates of students graduating?
It's very interesting because the Kalamazoo Promise has caused a decrease in the number of students from the Kalamazoo schools. The reason is that many of those students now have an opportunity to start at a four-year school and have their tuition paid. And so I know many people thought it was going to be a surge for us, but it's not. When we first started with the Promise, many of the students were, I think, caught off guard, didn't anticipate that they would have this wonderful gift, and they weren't prepared academically. We invested in new approaches to our tutoring and in our counseling, and really worked closely with the Kalamazoo Public Schools. I'm very pleased now that the Promise students that are coming to us are doing a very nice job, and we see a great difference in their abilities academically.
And one of the changes that might have been made over time is that, let's say a student goes to Kalamazoo Valley Community College, they do have the Kalamazoo Promise, and let's say they're not maintaining the GPA that is required to have that scholarship, so it is, they're in jeopardy. But they can have a second chance. There's even staff members now who they must meet with and will help them to get back on track.
That's right, and that's been a wonderful partnership with the Promise Office. They have seen what the needs are. They've worked very closely with us to help support that. In fact, they are sponsoring two of our positions at KVCC, specifically addressing the needs of some of our more challenged Promise students.
And are you seeing some changes with that?
We absolutely are seeing changes. We're seeing higher grade point averages. We're seeing more of our students transfer to Western. And we're seeing them graduate from Western and coming back into the community in jobs. It's a wonderful gift.
Well, happy birthday. You just had one recently. You're 81 years old.
I am.
What made you stay? Being a college president, that's not a job that you can wake up every day with your eyes closed and just sleep through it. You can't sleepwalk through that job. Obviously, something keeps you there to this age. What is that?
The mission of the community college and the people at Kalamazoo Valley Community College that make it happen. I love it. I'm going to miss it. It's been an important part of my life, and it's going to be hard for me to turn my back on it.
What are the next steps for you? What would you like to do in this new life?
Sleep later than I sleep. Not have a calendar and a smartphone telling me where I have to be and what I have to be doing. And to take that path that's unexplored and see what's available. Frankly, I would love to come back to KVCC Incognito and take an algebra class or a physics class. I told you I was an English major. I would love to come back and take a writing course from some of our fabulous writing teachers and learn how to write a poem. I don't know how to do it. And though I'm a learner, and I would love to continue to learn, I hope I'm learning right to the end.
Is there anything that you would have liked to have said that I did not ask you?
No, I think you covered the bases, Earlene, and I appreciate that. You've got my inner thinking in there.
Well, that's really what it's about. Well, Dr. Schlack, I really appreciate you joining us today. It is certainly an honor to have started my journalism career here in Kalamazoo, interviewing you, and now on the back end, being able to interview you as you leave Kalamazoo Valley Community College. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Earlene. I appreciate it.
We've been talking with Kalamazoo Valley Community College President Marilyn Schleck. She is retiring after 35 years. For WMUK's West Southwest, I'm Arlene McMichael.